Rolling.
Oh yeah, six pre-rolls blowing out Anthony's eardrums, starting with Freshly. Revamp your routine this fall with Freshly and save for a limited time. You order today, you get $140 off your first five orders at freshly.com/JRVP. That's freshly.com/JRVP for $140 off your first five orders. Freshly.com/JRVP for $140 off your first five orders. Freeze Pipe, smoke like royalty without paying a king's ransom at thefreezepipe.com. And use the code JRVP for 10% off. Shop now. You get free shipping at thefreezepipe.com. Use the code JRVP for 10% off. Trade Coffee's back. Upgrade your coffee today with Trade Coffee. Let them take the guesswork out of finding your perfect cup. Right now, Trade is offering our listeners a total of $30 off your subscription plus free shipping at drinktrade.com/JRVP. That's drinktrade.com/JRVP. $30 off your subscription to the best coffees in the country. drinktrade.com/JRVP. Black Buffalo has been a sponsor for a long time. They have nicotine-free options called Zero. They're everything you love about dipping, but without the actual tobacco leaf or stem. Head to blackbuffalo.com. Use the promo code JRVP at checkout for 25% off your first order. That's the best offer you'll find. Code JRVP for 25% off your first order at blackbuffalo.com. We've got two more. We're setting records here. What are you laughing at?
It's just funny to watch you flounder.
I'm not floundering at all. I'm thriving.
You're drowning.
Imagine you, if you had to do this, you would be drowning. I'm nailing this.
I just said you're drowning and that's your comeback?
A lot of times.
I'd be drowning?
Well, yeah, you'd be drowning more. But sometimes I am drowning early. I think I've been nailing it. Aaron agrees, and he also agrees that ZipRecruiter is a great place to find qualified candidates fast. Try it for now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Thriving.
You're like about to drown. You're like spinning on top of a barrel, and I'm like, he's about to fall. It's too much.
But you know what's keeping me up? All that Athletic Greens I chug each and every morning. You can get a one-year free supply of immune-supporting vitamin D. Five free travel packs with your first purchase. Makes it so easy to get all the vitamins you need every day with just one scoop. Visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP for a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with the first purchase. That's athleticgreens.com/JRVP. I like that, you know, we include some little goodness in the middle of all the ads, so people just have to listen all the way through. But that was some record-setting stuff right there.
That was good. You're like the Micro Machines guy.
I wish I was. I am looking forward to talking about a backpack full of gasoline today, the dangers of getting a butt lift, and when you're too old to become a comedian. That's all coming up on episode 181 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
It's so easy to be great these days. Because everyone else is so weak.
Anthony's dancing. We're feeling it. We're here on yet another election night. America Decides 2022 with Anthony and Greg. We were here last time. You remember that? It was the old Biden versus Trump.
I forgot about that. I mean, we're like Wolf Blitzer. You know, wouldn't be election night without us. I voted today. I've got my story. I voted, like last week. I did the mail-in ballot. I have my sticker. Greg did not wear a sticker.
I mean, that's kind of performative at this point if you sent in the mail-in, you know, thing already. Plus, by the time this gets out, you know, polls will be closed everywhere. Maybe Hawaii. Like, there's some people who love the YouTube feed in Hawaii could check it out.
I think it's important to vote. I don't care who you vote for. I have my preferences, but I just think people should go out and vote. And if I can show that I voted, then let it be performative. I'm happy. I'm happy to get the sticker. If you go and vote, and you like, they give you a sticker and you don't put it on, you're a better man than me. I don't know how you do that. I don't wear a lot of stickers, but the voting sticker, I'm excited to get it. I'm proud to have it.
I am too, but when it's a mail-in ballot, you're like, I didn't know what to do with it. I think I just put it up in the house. And I dropped it off on a Friday evening, last Friday.
I left it there. I think
no one would see me.
If someone sees me on the street on like election day and I'm wearing the sticker, like, okay, Justin Luke voted. You know, I'm a public figure. I got to vote. What I'm sick of, I don't know if this is, if it's like this for you. This is the first election year where I've gotten texts. God damn it. I get so many text messages every day. And for some reason, when I bought my cell phone, I never had a cell phone before until I got it in Pennsylvania before I drove out to Los Angeles with you. And so for some reason, I'm getting Pennsylvania texts and California ones. So my phone is like every day, 10, 20 texts. It's driving me nuts. And I don't know how I got on these things and I don't know how to stop it, but I honestly might get a new phone number. I've had the same phone number for 20 plus years, but I might change it just to get away and never give it out again. Like, I do not answer my phone anymore. I don't think anyone does. Everything's a spam risk. I get so few phone calls. And what if you see, text messages, you know, now are terrible.
Greg Rosenthal coming
in. I'm psyched. I answer it. But you would probably be like, hey, let's talk. You would text me that. But the taking away my texting is brutal. Every text I get, it's awful. I hate it. Stop doing it. I don't understand whose mind they're changing. Like, you're just making people mad. If I didn't think voting was so important, I would not vote just to protest the text messages.
Yeah, I don't need to hear from the Firefighters Association again. Like, back off, Firefighters Association. I don't know why it's the firefighters and the police association. They're just texting all the time.
But both of them get
too
me
many,
mad.
Too many.
I've been getting texts from Dr. Oz, texts from Fetterman, and I'm like, this makes
well,
me mad.
That doesn't
all
make
around.
Any sense. I don't get it. Mine is a New York cell phone number. I don't get anything from New York. That doesn't make any sense. You probably never changed your registration from your childhood house? Somehow.
No, I never had it registered there because I wasn't living there at the time.
You never voted there?
I had a California phone number. I got it in Pittsburgh before I left. I've never gotten a Pennsylvania anything until this. And I've switched carriers since then. I went from Sprint to AT&T, so I don't know how this is following me, but it's in there and it sucks.
You can also get rid of, you know, some of the people in your phone that you know your number. If you change your number, maybe you're not that disappointed they don't have your new number.
Yeah, I think but I just like my number. I like saying my number. It's easy to remember that I enjoy it. Like,
if
your phone number was 8675309, you would never change it, right? That's not my phone number. That's the phone number from the song, Jenny.
Tommy Two Tone.
Is that who sang that song?
I don't know. I think so.
Yes.
Yeah? I mean, it was a strong guess. It's good to see you. You know.
Hold on. I'm still before you start slobbering my knob. I want to keep talking about the election. I think it's weird now, and I don't know if it's always been like this, but you used to find out on election night what was going to happen, and now I feel like it's weeks because everyone's voting by mail or absentee ballot, right? It's just not the same. You don't get the same kick. You know, we go to dinner after this with our boy Lloyd, and maybe we'll find out something. But I don't know what. I don't even know what's up with this election. I don't know what's going on.
The LA mayor race is the one I'm most interested in here. But I don't think people probably listening to this podcast are that interested. The sports gambling one, that one's interesting to me. Their ads were so bad that I think people are voting against it just because the ads were so bad, which makes sense to me.
I don't care either way on that one. And the mayor's race, I'm like, I'm voting my way. But if the other way happens, I'm not furious.
I get anxious. I would be furious. I get anxious on these election days. But then it's ultimately underwhelming. I think I'm just traumatized from the Trump election. That was the last time I voted in person. I realized that is such a bad memory of waiting in line for an hour for an election that ended with Donald Trump being the president, that I don't want to do that ever again.
I do my part on election day. I do my part. I vote. No matter what, I voted in the minor elections, major ones. I just don't want to have that feeling of I didn't do the bare minimum, which is voting. And once I do that, I can let it go. When Trump won, I was like, you know what? I voted. I did my part. Let's see what happens now. But if I hadn't voted, I would have been upset. So vote so that you can, so you have a clear conscience no matter what happens. That's what I
said. I agree. We were together when Joe Biden was finally ruled as the victor in the 2020 election.
Yeah,
we were in San Diego, and that's when we found out. We were staying together at the house, the huge house that you rented
yes.
with Rummy, and we were, Emeka and I, and we were just about to leave, And that's when we found out, and there were people like honking horns in the middle of San Diego. We weren't together by that point, but I always remember that.
Yeah, you were the one who told me. You were the one who told me that that Joe Biden won, and that's why America's gone downhill ever since. We were going to make it great again, Greg. We were going to do it. But I'm glad we can maybe not talk politics for a little while, but that's not going to happen.
Am I doing a good job not interrupting you so far?
So far. It's not. This is what, if you always interrupted me, then maybe I would get used to it. It's the fact that you lull me into a sense of security. And then as I'm talking, you will fire out with the howitzer interruption. It's how you, it's not just the interruption, it's how you interrupt.
You can jump in sometimes, certainly. The last episode, it seemed to take you to another place.
I was not in a great mood last episode, which contributed. But when you're not in a good mood and someone, because you interrupt loudly. You know what I mean?
I do everything loudly.
You come in hard. And then your voice kind of tapers off, but your interruption is so successful because you come in loud and fast.
It's a terrible habit that I have in general, and I do it on the Around the NFL podcast way too much too, and I try to remind myself not to do that. And yeah, like I said on the last podcast, whenever I'm sitting at the kitchen table when I'm back for like the holidays or when my family's birthdays, and we're all like competitively trying to interrupt each other, I realize like, oh, this is just this is where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my kids do it too. Like, everyone's just dying to talk. We have so many great things to say.
It's good to get checked on your interruptions, I feel like, because I interrupt people sometimes too, and someone's like, hey, you're interrupting me. I'm like, oh, thank you. Like, I'll try to dial it back a little bit, but you get excited. You're talking to me. You're talking to the Jez. You want to get something in there. I've got some business to take care of real fast. New tour dates. I announced new tour dates like a week or so ago. And throw that bitch up on the screen. And for the people just listening, starting in January, we got Spokane, Washington. And these are all comedy clubs. Spokane, Washington, West Palm Beach, Raleigh, North Carolina, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I've been to Spokane, West Palm. I have not been to Raleigh or Fort Wayne. In February, I got Louisville, Kentucky, which I've been to, not this club. Oklahoma City, I've never been. I'm very excited for Oklahoma City. I'm very excited.
Why?
Going to buy some cowboy boots. Oklahoma City sounds like a cool city. I've never been, and a lot of these places I've never been, and so I'm excited about that. March, I've got West Nyack, New York. I got Sacramento, California. And then in April, I've got Madison, Wisconsin, Rochester, New York. And then in May, I finish it out with Huntsville, Alabama, which I've never been too excited about. Huntsville is like, it's like redneck Alabama mixed with NASA and tech. Like they've got NASA's got like offices there. I don't know. I don't know if they fire shuttles from Huntsville, but I hear it's cool. St. Louis, Missouri, one of my favorite cities in the country. Go Buffalo, Birds. New York, which I love. And Indianapolis, finishing it out at the end of May. And people, I announced the tour. I announced it on social media. And a lot of people were like, why is he going to these cities? Like, I don't understand. People just think that's the whole tour. That's not it. I'm going to be touring for years. And I did this like these 7 weeks that I'm almost done with. I'll get into that in a second. And then I'm going to do these comedy clubs. And then I'm done with comedy clubs. That's the comedy clubs. I'm going to take the summer off. And in the fall, I will have many, many more tour dates. And if your city's not on this list and hasn't been on the list I'm completing right now, then it will be on. It will be on there. I will be coming to your city. I will be coming to all the major, major cities in the country. So don't you fret.
So St. Louis didn't make the cut of major. They're getting hit with the minor tag. Because a lot of those cities, yeah, I was surprised. I was curious, too. How do you pick these? I figured you're kind of spacing it out and you're going to hit the bigger cities at some other point. But St. Louis gets dropped into the West Nyack category.
You know, I love St. Louis. But if I saw a big city on the clubs that my agent gave me, and he was like, we're going to save the major markets for theaters. But I haven't been to this comedy club yet. And I thought, great. Indianapolis, I love. But I want to check out this new comedy club of theirs. Buffalo. The Helium, I'm excited about. I love Buffalo. Buffalo is a great city, and the tickets are selling great. I've already sold out. I think Madison, Wisconsin is already sold out.
Dang.
Buffalo's already sold out a show. West Nyack's already sold out a show. So it's been great. And this 7 week tour, the last two weekends, I'm in Brea this weekend and then Ontario next weekend, and then I'm done. And they're sold out now. And so that means of all these 7 weeks of shows, I've sold out every show except for two in Oxnard crazy enough. And I've had to add shows. Like, I did 6 sold-out shows in Phoenix this weekend. And Phoenix is the second biggest comedy club in the country. Brea is the biggest. And I sold out 5 of those. So it's been a wildly successful tour. I've been enjoying myself so much. A really fun thing is a lot of JRVP listeners are coming to these shows. And I'll walk out and people will yell JRVP. And then I take questions for a couple minutes, like during the check drop. When you're at a comedy club, in the last like 15, 20 minutes of the show, the servers come and they give you your bill for everything you've had. And for like 5 minutes, no one listens to me because everyone's looking at their check and doing stuff. So I'm like, okay, let me take questions for these 5 minutes. And it's a lot of JRVP questions where sometimes I'm not annoyed, but because I'm grateful, but they'll be like, how's Greg? And I'm like, then I have to explain to the audience who Greg is and that I have a podcast. And I hate that. But one of my favorite things is in almost every show this weekend or on this tour, I'll take questions and someone goes, what's the dirtiest part of the human body? And I love it every time. And in Phoenix on Sunday.
What do you say?
Oh, I'm like, I do the finger thing. And I say, the butthole. And the place goes wild. And it seems like, let's say there's 300 seats. I'd say 50 people know the reference when the person in the audience says it. But I would say 90% of those people laugh when I say the butthole, which is great. And in Phoenix on Sunday, someone goes, what's the dirtiest part of the human body? I go, dirtiest part of the human body? The butthole. And the place goes crazy. And then some guy screams, the butthole! And the place goes wild. Like, they go wild like it was my catchphrase. And I was like, oh, this is the best. I love the JRVP fans. Thank you for coming to my shows. Yeah, loving the road, loving the act has evolved as I've gone through this, and which has made me confident about booking these fall tour dates, which I will not be able to announce for months and months, but I'm very excited about where things are heading. It's been fantastic. I think a lot of the success of the tour has come from the podcast. I think fans are coming out, people know. I think social media has helped, but I think the podcast has been great.
What about Kanye? Although Oxnard was ironically the only two non-sold that show.
I know. Out of 5. And they told me even in Oxnard, they were like, no one sold out back-to-back shows here in years. And I was like the first one to do it.
Get your act together, Oxnard. I also think, this is your first time being out post-JRVP. Right?
No.
Maybe I'm crazy. We were just starting.
We were just starting. So I remember coming back from Australia and being in the studio. And that was the very end of the last tour. So yeah, it has been a while, but yeah, it's been fantastic. I've been having a great time. Other than that, I think the last thing I want to talk about some horror movies. Halloween was a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you're not a big horror movie guy, but I am.
I did just watch Barbarian though.
Yeah,
on your recommendation, and really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's a lot.
Great movie. It's a lot. I've seen them all this year. I feel like I saw Smile, I saw X, I saw, what was the sequel to X? Pearl? Pearl is amazing. Pearl is going to be a cult movie. Liz and I quote it all the time. You got to see Pearl. Pearl is a great, great movie, a prequel to X. I think more people should see Pearl. It's on demand right now. But I had looked up like the best horror movies of the year, as I often do around Halloween. And three of the top five, were on you could rent them on iTunes or whatever, but it was on a website called Shudder. Shudder is like a streaming service that if you have Amazon, you can subscribe to it, which I do. And I saw 3 awesome movies, and I watched them all in one night, Halloween night. One of my favorite horror movies of the year, and I've seen some great ones, Speak No Evil. Speak No Evil is fucking awesome. If you're listening to this and you like my horror movie recommendations, see Speak No Evil. I can't believe more people aren't talking about it. It's a great movie. It's a foreign film, but it's in English, and just a absolute banger. Deadstream, I watched. That was a good one, kind of like a first person.
What's Speak No Evil about?
It's about two cultures. I think it's Danish and Dutch. It's like two couples meet, two kind of families meet, and they end up like kind of taking a little vacation together at one of their houses. And because of the, they're trying to be polite. It's like because of cultural differences, they get into these little arguments, have this tension, but they're trying to be polite, and that leads to horrible, horrible things in a way that is like, you can see, you know, in horror movies, you're like, why would you do that? That's so dumb. Why would you do that? This movie has that, but you kind of understand. And it's like, have you ever been in a situation, like people who've gotten mugged are like, I saw this guy and I was like, something's off, but I didn't want to be rude. And then he mugged me. It's like, just run, get the fuck out of there. And that's what Speak New Wave is all about. It is fantastic. And then Deadstream is kind of like an Evil Dead sort of thing. It's like a first person thing, but done very, very well. The actor's great. And then I saw a movie called Sissy that is about like kind of an influencer who's batshit crazy. And I really enjoyed it. Liz was like, I don't know. And then the end, she was like, oh, I'm totally in. That Ghost, and it's all on Shudder for free, or you can get them all. But three of the best rated horror films of the year, according to Rotten Tomatoes, Speak No Evil, Deadstream, Sissy. Those are my three. But again, Pearl, uber allus. And Barbarian, uber allus that.
I mean, am I allowed to speak now? Can I come in?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking permission. You're learning.
I am curious why your recommendation station has now morphed into the top of the show. You like throwing out the movies now. You just got too many, I guess.
Because I got books. Movies are more of like a social thing for me, that when I see one, I'm excited about it, but oftentimes they're very popular. You know, I like movies. Like, if it's like one of the highest rated horror movies of the year, I don't need to get recommendation stations for like, I wouldn't know about this. Oh, Anthony is recommending something. And I've been reading a fuck ton this year, so I always have a new book. If I didn't, maybe I would scrounge around like you and recommend a movie. But I like to talk about movies. We can talk about pop culture.
I don't scrounge around for anything. I haven't been watching enough movies. Barbarian's like the only one I've watched lately.
How do you feel about, after your recommendation of the Migos album, it was the final nail in the coffin?
Stop that.
You did it.
It was really sad. And Takeoff was my favorite Migos. I talked about it on that
He's the best one, yeah.
Show, just that he's sort of the one that lays back and is just the coolest, and he's got the coolest voice. They thought he was the best rapper, which... strange to me. They said that, you know, before he died, because he got by far the least amount of airtime. But that's why I liked him, that he would just like come in and close shop and wreck it. It's sad. It was a sad thing.
That's definitely sad. Yeah, it sucks. I just thought it was interesting that right after, because you didn't recommend it the week it came out.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to the shit out of that album. Still am. It's a really fun album. Like the six or seven best songs on it are awesome.
Thank you for taking responsibility. Anything else from the last 2 weeks you want to get into?
I mean, I couldn't help but notice here after your little screed about hoodies, you're wearing a hoodie-ish thing. I mean, it's a sweater with a hoodie,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a hoodie.
Yeah.
It's like a dressy hoodie. But you just said you're too old for hoodies.
Yeah, but not if it's like a sweater, like a nice, you know, sweater hoodie.
You say that like everyone knows. Everyone knows that. Just look at the Bill of Rights of when to wear hoodies.
I like
everyone
hoodies.
Everyone knows that sweater hoodies are
okay. I like hoodies. I love cardigans. Okay? I'm not giving away hoodies. I'm not like done with hoodies forever. But I used to just wear them all the time. And now I'm a cardigan boy. But if I show up in a hoodie, you can't be like, hey, what's up? You like cardigans now. I'm not going to work out in a cardigan.
You said you were too old for hoodies at this point. That's all.
Too old to
I'm gonna
only
keep wearing
wear hoodies.
Them. I mean, how can you even tell if it's a nice hoodie or not? I have nice hoodies that cost a lot of money. Maybe,
yeah, that's how you can tell.
Okay.
Look at the price tag. And again, like this is, when I bought this online and I thought it was going to be like a sweatshirt. And when it showed up, I was like, oh, this is knit. This is like actually really nice. And this is the first time I'm wearing it. So congratulations to anyone who watches this on YouTube. If you're listening, you don't know how good my hoodie is. You don't get to see it. You don't get to show off. You don't even know I voted. You gotta watch this. On YouTube, where our subscription numbers are getting up there, we're inching up towards 10,000. But then I see some fucking dork comic I don't respect who has like 3 million, and I'm like, oh, we've got a ways to go. And again, they've been doing this for 10 years, but we need to build this.
Some people are, yeah, their whole business is YouTube subscribers, mm-hmm. and we are late to that party. But I do like the people that say they like the reactions. That it really changes it, mm-hmm. watching on video. I don't know if I would do that. And I still think it's an audio medium, but...
I'll say this. Now that I'm booking like the bigger tour in the fall, I'm thinking about when do I do a comedy special, you know? And kind of it's like, well, I've performed everywhere I can perform with this. If I don't film it, it's just going to be gone. I can't really go anywhere and do it anymore. And I don't know if I'm going to do a Netflix special again. I don't know, and maybe it'll be like an HBO special, maybe something else comes along, maybe Amazon, but YouTube is a big one. A lot of my friends now are doing it straight to YouTube and getting a ton of views, but to be successful with that, you have to have like the foundation in place, which is getting subscribers to your channel. Then you put it on the channel and you get a lot of numbers. So if you want me to just dump a special on YouTube and everyone can see it for free, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And then if the numbers are way up there, maybe it makes sense for me to do it for free. Otherwise, you got to subscribe to something else. So do you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel for free? Or do you want to subscribe to Netflix for $1,000 a month? The choice is yours. And now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes?
Did we get any notes?
Oh, fuck yeah, we did. A lot of people last week were wondering what happened to the podcast. Why isn't there a podcast? Guys, what's going on? When are we getting the podcast? And we've messed up in a couple ways. First of all, we've been planning to take off last week for weeks. We talked about it. I think it's a holiday weekend with Halloween. And a lot of people, it's like kind of the advertising dip down. We're like, we never take time off. Our contract is 45 episodes a season, and we never take weeks off. So it's like we had 7 weeks we could be taking off here and there. We don't like to do that. We enjoy doing the podcast. We like doing a mailbag every now and again. We don't want to do too many, but we like it. But sometimes we got to take a week off. And we were like, oh, you know what? This will be fun. And then we forgot to mention it on the podcast last week. Like as soon as we wrapped it, we were like, oh, fuck, we forgot to tell anyone. And we're like, oh, it's fine. And then when people started asking, I was like, I could have easily done something on social media. But I wasn't that into tweeting at the time. And it feels weird. Like, I've got way more followers on social media than I do podcast listeners. And I was like, is this annoying? But then Liz was like, oh, just do it in your Instagram story. And once one person knows, maybe they take it to Reddit and people know. But I just didn't do it. It felt like it was too long. I apologize for that. In the future, if we take an episode off, we will announce it on the episode before. And we will talk about it on social media. So people are wondering if we're
dead. Wow, just making campaign promises here. Mm-hmm. We are taking one off in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This is being recorded on November 8th. And I believe we're off on the 22nd. And yeah, we're kind of backloading maybe 3 total weeks off here in the last 3 months of the year. But we're not going to do too much. People would miss us. I thought you were going to play with some of the speculation that was out there. Was it related to the Kanye comments? Did I interrupt you so much that it caused a rift in our friendship that could not be recovered from? Did the NFL finally jump in and not like many of the objectionable things that have gone on here?
I don't think people believe me anymore when I say things. So I've got to be careful. Like after the Janet Roth thing and there was something else that people were like, oh, you lied to us. That I think I want the audience to trust me.
Okay.
So I don't want to be yanking chains too often. That way I can really yank a chain. You know what I'm saying? You know what's up. We didn't get into Twitter before we get out. Did we get any notes? Because you're as a journalist, which I will grant you, you are. I feel like Twitter is for journalists, basically. That's what makes it as popular as it is. Is that like you see, and a lot of the people I follow are either journalists or flat out like newspapers that I get my news that way. I wake up in the morning and it's like, okay, what's the Times talking about? What's Rolling Stone talking about? What's Greg talking about? What's Adam Schefter up to today that I want to know?
Put your shirt on, bro. I don't know if you saw that picture.
I did. Yeah. I did. It was do some push-ups or something before you head out there on the field.
Oh, I think he was showing off that he has been lifting some weights. He looked pretty strong, bro.
He looks like he's in pretty good shape, but I think you got to get a pump on before you go out there. You got to spray that tan on. You know what I mean? He wasn't, it was a little embarrassing.
He was lifting weights, but he was still not at the level that I would, think it is necessary to take your shirt off on a pregame show before an NFL game. But hey, maybe I'll feel differently when I'm a little older, like Schefter, and, I'm just like a made man.
True. I like that he's having fun. I like that he's having fun as a very, very serious journalist. Maybe the most serious journalist in the NFL. But Twitter, it's gone crazy. I've been enjoying the meltdown of Elon Musk, like spending $44 billion on this thing, having no idea what he's doing. And everything is like, he's just getting owned left and right. And then to be like, oh, comedy's back on Twitter now. And then banning people for making fun of him is very, very funny for a little bit. It got a little old pretty quickly. I think now I'm just annoyed with it. That I was like, maybe I'm done with Twitter. Maybe I don't think I would like make some grand announcement like a lot of people are doing. I don't think I would like delete my account like some people are doing. But I was like, I don't know if I ever tweet again other than retweeting All Things Comedy when they promote the podcast or things associated with us like other podcasts I'm on.
You
or things that
do
I have
anyways.
To. I know. But then today, this morning, I wake up and I check Twitter in the morning to see like the news sites I follow. And Casey Anthony is trending. And I'm fucking pumped. I'm like, what happened with Casey Anthony? And they're doing a documentary Peacock is doing a Casey Anthony documentary, a three-part documentary, where they talk to Casey Anthony. And I was like, oh, I'm fucking so in, and I have to say something. I have to tweet something about this. I forget what I said. I had two things I wanted to go with, and I think I went with the wrong one. But I said like a well-deserved victory lap for Casey Anthony, and I was like, this is I can't resist this. Even the Twitter.
But you
is
never
dead.
Make jokes on Twitter anymore. I miss them. I remember that. Yeah, you know, I remember that Anthony.
I have the podcast now. I can make my jokes on the podcast. But I can't wait for this Casey Anthony documentary in late November. You know.
Is that going to be part of the top of the show recommendation station? Maybe she could earn her way into.
Oh, I can't wait to. I wish there was like a live tweeting for this documentary. With streaming, you can't really do that, but I would do like a special JRVP. Like we come in here and stream the Peacock series and the Peacock thing and comment on it in real time.
I would love to do that.
People would love that, and I can't wait. I saw a Casey Anthony documentary. Or like maybe it was some 2020 thing about her over the pandemic. I didn't really know that much. I knew she killed her kid. I knew people thought she was hot. I was like, I was into it, but that's all I really knew. And then I had my famous Casey Anthony nephew, cousin, relative, who I had to deal with at a comedy show that I talked about at the end of maybe Caligula. Maybe, yeah, it must have been Caligula. But I didn't realize that one of my favorite Casey Anthony things was when the police come and talk to her. Her alibi is that she was at work. And they're like, but you don't have a job. He's like, no, I work at this amusement park nearby. I forget. It's one of the major ones. I forget which. Someone in Orlando, like maybe it was Disney or something. And they're like, you do? And she's like, yeah. Like, and like, can you take us to your work? And she's like, uh-huh. And she like drives. They go to where the amusement park is. She walks into the employee entrance. And the cops know full well the whole time that she does not work there. But she's like pretending.
Really?
Yeah. And she walks them into the employee entrance. Walks down the halls, and they have all this on security cameras, and she's saying hi to employees as they walk by, and they're just looking at her like, "What? Who is this?" And she's like, "Hey, how's it going? Like, big day today." And then the cops are following her. And I swear to God. And then she gets to like the end of a hallway where there's nowhere else to walk, and she turns around and goes, "I don't work here." And I love it. So that should be one of the three episodes. It's just that walk down the hallway. I can't wait.
I also think it was. You know, good material that she did there, but maybe not the smartest move because like 100% of people who go to a workplace and say hi to people, oh, how's it going here today? I've killed their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how you know someone's killed their kids is if they do that.
Yep.
Shout out to Peacock, really coming strong. Feel like Peacock, you know, doesn't get as much buzz as some of the other streamers, but it's like, hey, we're Peacock. We got Casey Anthony.
They gave us MacGruber. They brought MacGruber back, and they're giving us Casey Anthony. I can't say enough about Peacock.
See,
thank you, Peacock.
A well-deserved victory lap. Just seeing it on Twitter, that's there's a certain sort of joke that's going to work best in the written format on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Social media, that you can't replace that on JRVP.
Yeah,
I want more of that.
I'm not going to Mastodon. Get the fuck out of here with your dork-ass bullshit.
I am annoyed, yeah, about the Elon Musk thing in that it's revealed how meaningful Twitter is to so many people that I like and respect. Because I guess it's meaningful to me in the sense that I've spent a lot of time on it. It's pretty necessary for work. It's great for just football information and knowing other people in our industry and like getting off jokes about football that I enjoy and learning a lot about football. And it's great for my job, and it always has been. But just like the self-seriousness with which everyone has taken this whole Elon Musk thing indicates to me like, oh, Twitter is like, it's like a core part of their lives in a way that I just saw it as this thing that's fun and you just get jokes off. I guess I'm not too worked up about like Elon Musk. They're like, oh, it's all falling apart. I don't know. It's going to be the same stuff.
I think it's funny how badly he wants to be cool. And I think it's crazy how the people who will defend him to the death, these like dorks who like have any mild criticism of Elon Musk, they lose their minds, I think is hilarious. But he could not be less cool. Will you pay $8 a month for a blue check mark?
No.
Will your job do it for you? Because you are a journalist. The NFL might say.
Yeah, they might do it. I feel like having the blue check mark now will be embarrassing. Like I'm mm-hmm. such a mark. Essentially, that I'm going to do this. It doesn't seem like anyone really will pay for it.
But if you're a journalist and your boss and your company pays for it, then it's fine. But I couldn't imagine. I mean, listen, I've been paying $8 a month for a long, long time to Twitter. Just I love Twitter so much that I don't know if I mean, maybe I keep doing it, but maybe they want more. I've had a blue check mark. I did nothing. One day I woke up and I had the blue check mark. And this is a long, they just gave a bunch of comedians one day. But if they take it away, like, I don't, are people going to impersonate me? Like, it seems like a road to ruin if they start doing this.
I guess, like, it's all maybe poorly run and people get, like, really into the insidery Twitter stuff at all. But it's very easy to just condense your Twitter experience. Like, I already had Elon Musk muted. I might go blocked, you know, so that you just don't hear anything about it. You can even, you know, put in his name and have that all. I mean, it just seems like something that's not worth wasting your time. People, oh, it's going to mess with the algorithm and, you know, misinformation's going to get on the latest tweets bandwagon. All you need is press the latest tweets button. You don't need any algorithm. You just see it as it comes. They're not.
Yeah, I don't worry about the algorithm at all. I think that like the racism is a little insane. Like the use of the N-word went up like 500% after he did this. But again, I follow so few people, and it's mostly like professional stuff that I'm not that. It doesn't change my experience, and I don't care if my Casey Anthony tweet doesn't get the traction it should. Like I'm not worried about that. But I wonder about impersonation, and I wonder if people will just be sick of it. And there's always going to be something else. There's always some other website to go to, some other social media.
But don't go to Mastodon right now. Like, if Mastodon became a huge thing and none of these things ever become a huge thing, it'll still be there. And just, like, wait for everyone to make it a thing first and then show up in a year or two. Like, don't go now.
I do love the idea of Elon Musk losing billions of dollars in the same way that Yahoo bought Tumblr. Which I was never like a Tumblr guy, but they bought Tumblr, and then for like $1 billion, and then like a year later sold it for like $100,000 because they tanked the value. Whatever the changes they made tanked it. That him losing his shirt on this is very, very funny to me.
I agree with that, and I've hated Elon Musk for a while, and I do wonder because there's a lot of people I like that drive Teslas. Mm-hmm. Isn't it bad for Tesla?
Oh yeah,
but maybe not that many people are really on Twitter, and that's a fair. Pushback from anyone listening to this that's not that ultimately it's a small percentage of people that are on Twitter and it's shrinking apparently by the day, so maybe he's not affecting it that much. But Elon Musk seems like such an embarrassing person that he's essentially, you know, ruining Democrats' ability to want to vote for him, or just like thinking people that have a sense of humor.
Elon Musk has done to Tesla what Donald Trump did for Red Hats. If you see a red hat now, you just think about them, and it's a negative connotation with him. Like if I owned a Tesla, I'd be furious. If I owned stock in Tesla, I would be furious. And he was so cool. He was so cool like 5 years ago, and then he just decided he had to be like the big dog, and be on SNL and like make these tweets and these jokes, and it's embarrassing. And that was. Did we get any notes? Extended edition.
And that was. Did we get any notes?
Is that a new one?
Newish, yeah.
Okay.
Add some sprinkles to it.
Now let's take it down to a little place we like to call Email Corner.
Email Corner. Email. Emails are a thing.
What do we got this week?
We got to bring back the JRVP song. I know we only played that once or twice, but I played it in the car. It is on Spotify. Check it out. Look up JRVP. It's a banger.
You can bring it back. You're the only person in charge of whether we play it or not.
This is a reminder to myself. You can email us at jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com without the show for a week. I noticed a lot less headlines were showing up. I mean, we got emails up the wazoo, but I could always use some more headlines. So send us some good headlines
about
at jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com. Stop interrupting me.
Greg is in charge of headlines and the questions we pick. So if you want to flatter Greg when you write these emails, that gives you a big shot. But if you want to see a story and if Greg doesn't see it in the email, we're not seeing it on the podcast. Like Greg is not doing research. Greg's not going through things to look for stories. Occasionally, I see something. We got one this week that I found.
Some on Twitter, then I just put it into a little file myself. But one or two a week, probably not.
We need you to send us stories. Send Greg stories.
Shout out to, speaking of flattering me, shout out to the emailer, Aaron. I assume it's not our producer here, who said, what a great recommendation, the My Struggle pod episode with Joshua Cohen was. That was as deep a cut as it gets, and he thought it introduced him to a whole nother world.
Aaron, was that you?
No, it wasn't me.
I love the idea of Aaron emailing you, but using his real name.
The first question is from Mike. Who would you rather see perform at Red Rocks, the Beatles, Jesus, or Renner, a.k.a. Jeremy Renner?
J-Ren? You want to answer first?
I feel like Jesus, I've seen that before.
You have?
I mean, like, church.
Jesus was there?
There's just lots of songs being played. Just, we've done enough. I feel like I know what I would get from Jesus. There's a lot of, like, church jams. You know, the Beatles, there's only two of them left. So that would just be depressing. That would just be Paul and Ringo.
But I think they mean they come back to life. This is like you're in almost like a alt universe where you could see the Fab Five.
Why is this an alt universe? So Jesus is real.
Yeah, but he says the Beatles. He doesn't say Paul and Ringo. He says the Beatles.
Okay.
So I would think it's the Beatles.
Okay. I think it's got to be Renner. I mean, every time I see Renner, it's an incredible experience. But seeing him there at Red Rocks, and we're so tight with him, like on the hopes that either we can get backstage or maybe he even like has us up there to put his, you know, our arms around his shoulder and sing the chorus of his big song.
Okay. I can't believe it's so ironic that you would forget the name of Heaven Don't Got a Name. Listen, that's a good answer. It's not a bad answer. It's a wrong answer. Here's the right answer. All of them. Okay? First of all, it's Red Rocks. That's where Jeremy Renner rehearses for shit, is Red Rocks. He's gonna be dominant. He's headlining the show. Beatles are opening. Jesus catering. Because, listen, I don't care how you feel about religion. Jesus was a garbage musician. He's playing a tambourine at best, and he's just okay. But catering, Jesus could handle that. I'm talking fish. I'm talking bread. I'm talking all the wine you can drink from Jesus. But Beatles open. Like old school Beatles, the four of them, they come out, give the girls something, you know, before Jeremy Renner comes in and mans it the fuck up.
I think that's an amazing answer. I mean, it did say who you would want to see at Red Rocks. I don't know.
Who I'd want to see.
Having Jesus provide a gefilte fish or whatever, I don't know if that gets
done. You could see him doing it. You could see him giving out the fish, and he'd be having a good time. You think Jesus isn't a Beatles fan? You think he's not a Renner fan? He's going to be enjoying it. He's going to be crowd surfing around with a basket full of bread and fish. Right. And wine.
And you were saying I couldn't think of, you know, the name, ironically, Heaven Don't Have a Name. But I was trying to think of Main Attraction. That's my favorite Renner song.
Yeah. I always forget that's a Renner song. I think that song belongs to the people at this point.
Right. It's one of those. It's been used in a commercial, of course. And you're just like, this is a timeless song. Who even made this song? But it's Renner. Nomad is another favorite of mine. Also featured on the Arctic Dogs motion picture soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It's great. His cover of House of the Rising Sun. That's actually his encore. He plays all the originals up top, and then he comes back. Maybe he brings reincarnated George Harrison out with him for the encore.
That would be nice. But he's going to like bring him back just to overshadow him? I don't know. Do you remember seeing Arctic Dogs in the theater? Just so we wanted to experience Nomad in like the IMAX. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, it's like the dogs are just, it feels like they're like right in your face. They're just like galloping through the snow, and you can almost feel the little particles on your face. And then like the song that Renner sings when his favorite dog dies, just like it breaks your heart.
It's tough. I wonder if like could Red Rocks survive, you know, the Renaissance? Like would they be Black Rocks after that? Would he take all the red out?
How can it be a Renaissance if he never went away, you know?
He just keeps amping it up.
And that was, did we get any notes?
No, what? What?
Did we get any notes? That was. Did we get any notes?
I mean, that's, you went back in time to fuck up. I was like, wait, are we done with Email Corner? No. We just started it.
I don't know. It just felt like we needed some music.
What did you try to play there?
No, that is what I tried to play. David from Windsor asks, he's 52 years old. Is he too old to become a comedian?
Great question, David. I was reading something. I think I was reading on Reddit. I sometimes just scroll down like the front page of Reddit, and it was something about people like, it was either something like people who have made your hobby your job. Like, how has that worked out? A lot of people were like complaining. They were like, I used to have a job that I didn't really care about, but I loved my hobby. And then I quit my job and made my hobby my job. And now I just don't have, I don't enjoy it because it's a job and I don't have a hobby anymore. Then I think I would say at 52 years old, it's tougher because the first couple of years of doing stand-up, I was getting my ass handed to me and zero respect, and it was tough. But I was 23 years old, so I was too dumb to know any better. I would say, like, you have to start when you're dumb, so you don't understand how you should be treated by people. So 52 is hard, and it's going to be hard to make friends in the comedy community. But normalize making comedy a hobby. Go do stand-up. Get out there. It's creative. You meet people. It's fun. Don't try to be like getting on TV and having a career out of it. But go out. Go to an open mic. Take a comedy class and try stand up for the first time. And just get up when you can. Put on a show yourself. Invite your friends. Have it and enjoy doing comedy. Don't feel like you have to make it a career. So I think 52 would be a great time to do that. And a lot of times you could be very successful just by getting up there, and it's a different perspective than all the other people at the open mic. You know, it's a lot of like young kids making the same jokes. You're a 52-year-old man doing this. There's value to that. So embrace that and just don't be sweaty about it. Don't try too hard, I guess. Just enjoy it and be relaxed and enjoy being a comedian. It's great fun, and you can do that at any age.
That's good advice. Just try to be good at it. Don't worry about where it goes.
Yeah, make it a hobby. Don't try to make
it a
career.
That was my problem when I started my tennis podcast, Courts of Thunder. Made my hobby. It started tailing off. During the football season, we stopped. But I think I wanted to stop because I had that sensation. I like tennis too much as just a hobby. I don't need another job. I certainly don't need any more podcasts. A lot of podcasts.
You got to lose one of them, that's for damn sure.
Our next question is from Bailey. He or she is asking that she's in her early 20s, or he, I don't know. I'm looking for clues. But she's asking, when you're in your early 20s, working a normal career, and you don't find your coworkers interesting, you don't have your best friend from college along with you, what ways would you approach becoming ingrained in the culture of a new city that you moved to? How did you do so when you moved to LA? How do you approach meeting like-minded people if you didn't have your art helping surround you with other artists? Do you have any regrets or things you wish you would have done when you were young and before you were famous? Any advice from you guys on just being a young person in a major city would be great.
I'll try to make this quick. Again, coming to LA, I did have stand-up comedy after a little while to get into. I think you got to do activities, like do clubs, play kickball. You know what I mean? Like, do like kind of stupid things that are just fun, and you meet people. Do a bowling league. They have like things for young people to do. You know, bowling
just
league.
Sound
kickball.
Like an old person. At this point, you're so far removed from being a young person. I don't even know.
But those
if
things were around. Like, do activities.
The internet was barely invented when we were in our young 20s.
But they have things. They have like little leagues and stuff that you can get into and meet people that way. Meet people your age that do cool shit. Like, take a class. There are things that are out there for you. If not comedy, my regret was that I felt like I was embarrassed about having no money and like no success. I didn't really have much to talk about. It was like, if someone's like, oh, what do you do? Like in LA, the big thing was like, what do you do? And I did not have a good answer for a couple of years. So luckily I had some friends that I could kind of hang out with, but meeting new people was tough because I just wasn't happy with myself. So I wanted to avoid the conversation. But if I just embraced it, I knew a lot of people who had no money, and that was just it was just kind of a funny thing. You did things you didn't need money for. But just go out there and don't be embarrassed you don't have a lot of money. Don't be embarrassed you don't have like some career in full swing that you can discuss. Just have fun. No one cares.
Yeah, I'm a terrible person for this question. I never really did meet people that other than the people I already knew. Like all my friends I knew almost before LA, they're either from high school or college,
but
or
no,
through them, like Sarah Gilley. And
you did the NBC Page program, and you had some friends from that. Like, get into something where you're going to meet people. You're going to be in a class with someone, like taking like an improv class. Take something that take a pottery class, something where you meet people. Anything you can do to meet people. But
it's like almost never been as depressed as I was when I was in the NBC Page program, and none of those friendships lasted. Sorry,
no, but,
Stephanie.
No, but you. I remember going to parties.
Sure, that's fair. I got bad at it. I'm thinking about New York too, but I agree. My only regret would have been I was too hard on myself, being like, "Well, you're a fuck up. Why aren't you accomplishing anything yet?" It's like, what is? There's no huge hurry, and everyone's like that. So no need to be that hard on yourself. Last one's from Jimbo. I have a question from Anthony. I've heard a number of comedians on other podcasts mention they think the funniest comics often have had a lot of trauma growing up, or had fucked up childhoods. I heard your friend Whitney Cummings say this recently. Do you agree with this? And would you say you fall into this category, or do you buck the trend? Do you think adversity and chaotic past experiences are key ingredients in creating hilarious stand-up comics?
No, I don't agree with this. I think that I think every child has adversity growing up. You know what I mean? Everyone faces something. Comedians just talk about it more. And if you do have some kind of crazy trauma, like I know Whitney Cummings does, then obviously you're going to talk about that more, and people are going to focus on that. But I don't think that every comic has trauma. I don't know if I buck the trend. I think that's just not. I can name more. I know more comics than not who didn't have a traumatic upbringing, and the ones who did are kind of so fucked up that they don't become that successful. That I always hate it when people are like, "What happened to you that you became a comedian?" Like, I like to laugh. I enjoyed making people laugh, and I don't think that was from it wasn't from some trauma. I wasn't fucking kidnapped. I didn't have like a bad childhood. I just liked comedy and got into it more.
Yeah, I think that's a cliche. I always am annoyed by it. It's like there's a lot of people that have had a lot of trauma in every single line of work, and there's a diversity of people that haven't, and I don't think comedians are any different.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, the family was killed, there was one survivor, a 4-year-old girl, she's going to be a comedian. Like, that's not how it works. It gets the press, and people, if you have trauma, you like to talk about it as if it's some fucking virtue that makes you better than other people. Mm. It does not. Fuck you, Whitney.
That was like a little too hard edge there at the end.
Well, take that trauma and become a better comedian. The trauma I gave you.
And that was, did we get any notes?
No. How are these labeled? How are they labeled that you've done this twice?
I just haven't. You know.
And that was Email Corner. Shine on. Email. Let's get to... Oh, and now it's time for...
Ad copy.
We're really out of practice, but I think my brain is just shutting off. I don't know, were you... Did you happen to be behind me when I was doing kind of like an insane car maneuver leaving the podcast the other week?
No.
Okay, that's good. Because I think it's another example of like, by this time in the week, my brain just...
What is an insane car maneuver? Popping wheelies?
It was an embarrassing. I was like on the wrong side of a double line, and then someone told me, but by then I wasn't moving. I was at, you know, a red light, but by then it was too late to get out of it. And so I just sort of stood there and waited for the green until I could get out, and had someone honking at me, coming right at me. But I realized in retrospect, I think it's either, you know, I'm getting older, or by this time of the week, my brain is just turned into mush.
It's Burbank, bro. We give 110% on the podcast. So driving home, we're going to make some mistakes. People are going to get hurt.
Don't get hurt. Order trade coffee. That's fuck not their slogan, but it's mine. Going to coffee shop is great, but it's not something most of us can do every day. You can't afford it, and you can get better coffee with trade
Listen,
coffee.
Listen, don't get bored with your coffee at home. Save some money. People are like, oh, I like to go to coffee shops because I'm just sick of the same thing at home every day. Get trade coffee. There's only so many kinds of things you can put in your coffee. Different kinds of sweeteners, different kinds of milks. But you can get a different kind of coffee almost every time you have coffee with trade coffee. Get a variety. Get a variety, and then every time you drink coffee at home, it's a fucking adventure. And you're Indiana Jones.
Trade Coffee is a coffee subscription service that makes it simple for you to discover new coffees, make your best cup of coffee at home. I love it when it arrives in the mail. Just smells so good.
Smells so good.
You can check out the JRVP collection at drinktrade.com/JRVP. It has some of my favorites there. I like Joe Coffee Company from New York. I like Small Planes is a new one. That's from Washington, D.C. They work with all these different independent roasters, and they taste test it. You just pick what kind of coffee you like, and they're going to help you out.
And you can change it as you go. If you're like, yep. I'm leaning more towards this. I want to know about coffee. I don't want to do the research. So Trade Coffee just does it for me. I love it.
You just, any of the descriptions too, it's just like, oh, that sounds good. And it always is good. Upgrade your coffee today with Trade Coffee. Let them take the guesswork out of finding your perfect cup. Right now, Trade is offering our listeners a total of $30 off your subscription plus free shipping at drinktrade.com/JRVP. That's drinktrade.com/JRVP for $30 off your subscription to the best coffees in the country. drinktrade.com/JRVP. After you have that coffee, Maybe you like having coffee at night, whether it's decaf or not.
I drink coffee at night.
I'm not going to judge you.
After dinner, I got to have it.
Right. Then you can break out the old freeze pipe right after that.
Mm.
Smoking cannabis doesn't have to hurt. If you're tired of the harsh smoke, I know I am. It's cold and flu season. You don't need to be coughing anymore just because your smoke is harsh. Try to upgrade to an icy freeze pipe. Freeze pipe makes a unique line of freezable glass pieces that remove chest and throat burn by cooling smoke by over 300 degrees. Having a glycerin chamber on the Piper bong is the biggest difference-making attachment possible. No amount of water filtration. You can't put ice cubes in your bong. Like, none of that is going to make a difference. What freeze pipe does with their hand pipe or their bubbler or their bong is just make a nice, smooth smoke for you that you almost don't even feel it.
I like the process. I like being like, okay, I'm going to smoke. It's late at night. I'm done with all my stuff for the day. I'm gonna take a hit. I go into the freezer, pull it out, snap it together in like 30 seconds. It's easy. Hit it up, and then it's simple to clean. It doesn't stink.
It's very good. You got to put the chamber in the freezer for about an hour before, so just you always leave it there, and then you enjoy bigger, colder rips. So if you're looking for a little more bang for your buck, you get Freeze Pipe. Smoke like royalty without paying a king's ransom at thefreezepipe.com. Use the code JRVP for 10% off. Shop now. Enjoy free shipping at thefreezepipe.com. Use the code JRVP for 10% off. And after that, you know, you had a little coffee, you take a little freeze pipe, you're going to be hungry. And that's when it's time to dig into some Freshly.
Freshly.
It's football season right now. It's sweater season. It's fall. I'm wearing a sweater today. It's rainy in LA. It's cold. And that's why you got to hook up with the Freshly fall discount here.
What is the discount?
$140 off your first five orders at Freshly.com/JRVP.
What's your favorite? You know, my Freshly favorite, every time we talk about it, anytime I get some Freshly, I'm going straight for the chicken parm. The chicken parm, my mouth is watering right now just talking about the chicken parm. It's so good. And these meals are quick. It's like 3-4 minutes in the microwave. You don't have to put it in the oven. You don't have to preheat a goddamn thing. You take out the Freshly, you throw it in the microwave, and you have a fresh, healthy meal that tastes good. I wish to God this had been around 20 years ago when I first moved out here. It would have changed everything for me. Guys, if you don't have a lot of money and you don't care about what you're eating, you're not like, you're not a gourmet, you're not going out and going to hot restaurants, you don't know how to cook, Freshly is the best life you can lead. Get that chicken parm.
Delicious.
My mouth is seriously watering. You take over.
You can choose. It's the right portion size. I like the chicken tikka masala. I like the steak peppercorn. I like the pork carnitas. I like when there's a lot of meat involved. But if you don't want meat, they don't have that. They have gluten-free options. They have dairy-free options. They have plant-free options. They have anything you want. Check it out at their website. Revamp your routine this fall with Freshly. Save now for a limited time. Order today. You get $140 off your first five orders at Freshly.com/JRVP. That's Freshly.com/JRVP. $140 off your first five orders. Freshly.com/JRVP. $140 off your first five orders. You heard it.
If you're not eating Freshly, you're not eating. And that was
ad copy.
Let's get to headlines.
Roll it.
Good one. What's this?
It's a new one. I like that one.
But that's not the headline song. That's just like an in-betweener.
You know, sometimes I play the headline song. Sometimes
are people sending you new ones?
Or
you just haven't found them yet?
Our guy who I shouted out, and now I'm forgetting his name, he sent me some new ones. So.
That's quite the shout-out.
That was a couple weeks ago. We'll start the news with conservative author Nick Adams. He's had enough. I've seen this. He's the type of guy I have blocked on Twitter. Every once in a while, you just see like something blocked on Twitter pop up in your timeline. And it's Nick Adams. He claims to be President Trump's favorite author, and he has boldly taken on one of society's biggest injustices. He says, quote, "I am sick and tired of beta males and feminists trying to guilt alpha males out of eating at Hooters. Furthermore, there is absolutely nothing wrong with eating at Hooters on a weekly basis, even when you're with your family and kids."
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it. In fact, there's nothing wrong if you're not doing that. And I don't know why he says weekly. Listen, there are three meals in a day.
Right.
I don't know what time Hooters opens, but you can just sleep in and eat your breakfast at Hooters. My family loved going to Hooters when I was a kid. We loved it.
What, your mom? Like, what, how did your sisters feel about Hooters?
Everybody was just super into it. We just followed my dad's lead. My dad was like, listen, it's time to man the fuck up and eat some chicken wings. Hooters is, I mean, it's a funny thing to say. It's a funny thing to make your brand that you're not a man unless you take your family to Hooters. Like, why are you even making your family eat chicken wings? Like, hey, kids, look at that tank top.
Well, they have other stuff.
Yeah. I've eaten at Hooters. I'm on the road. They have great wings. Hooters food is good. It's a good bar food.
Is it?
Yes. It's good bar food.
Okay.
It's not healthy. I mean, it's chicken wings still, but it's not bad. But to make it like, if you're not eating there with your family, it's insane. It's an insane take from Donald Trump's favorite author.
This is reminding me that I once had to dress up as a Hooters girl.
Mm-hmm.
For Halloween or something.
Oh yeah, you don't remember this?
I mean, I do now, but it just came to me as part of our fraternity when we were.
It was a fraternity sorority mixer, and the older guys, we were pledges, and the older guys made people dress up as things because they thought it would, like, if we were wearing a stupid costume, that we would feel more comfortable talking to girls. But they just got us really drunk, and we were a bunch of. I don't think I was wearing anything. I think I was just normal. But you had to wear Hooters costume. Other people had stuff. I do remember, the thing I remember the most is that you passed out at some point in the night. I don't think you embarrassed yourself there, but you woke up like at dawn in the fraternity house that was so gross. We hadn't cleaned it yet. And you had to basically crawl home still in the Hooters outfit. So that was the embarrassing part for you. It was not the party, but the getting home from the party. And you did not hook up at the party. That's for damn sure.
I remember that. I don't regret joining a fraternity. It happened, but you still. I would not advise to. I say these stories, and I'm embarrassed. I'm chastened.
We were 18. No, we were 18, maybe 19 at the time.
Right.
It's okay to do that then. I don't know why we listened to these the older guys.
I mean, it led to the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Chair VP,
Junior Vice President.
So I can't say I regret it, but I can't believe I did it. And I do find it embarrassing. I don't find Nick Adams's take embarrassing because, you can have some fun with it. It's like beta males, alpha males. But like he does nail what feminists and beta males, I include myself in that, like what we always talk about, like our first line item, like our action item when we all have our meetings is like, how do we prevent the alphas from going to Hooters? You know what I mean? Like we're always just getting together and we're like, how can we guilt them? Like I hate when they go to Hooters. What is our strategy going to be now to guilt them into not going to Hooters?
It's a PG-13 restaurant chain. Why are you bringing it up at all? Why? It's like, you don't watch porn with your family? You fucking cuck. Like when did he say this? And he keeps on saying it. He brings up Hooters all the time.
So I think he tweeted it and then it caught fire. And these guys obviously are just looking for attention. And then he turned it into a whole thing where he's doing videos on it. He's always talking about it. It's a whole thing. He said, furthermore, alpha males eat wings and beer and drink beer at Hooters with the boys. Beta males nibble on tapas at Spanish vegan cafes with their wives.
Being an alpha male is not defined by how unhealthy what you're eating is. I don't. Is he saying that like it's the beer and the wings that make you an alpha, or is it like having a waitress who was wearing a tight shirt?
I think being in a place where guys can be guys instead of just ordering those tapas at the Spanish vegan cafes with your wife, it's like, how many tapas do I gotta eat? I'm still not full. I need more tapas.
Listen, if I'm at a restaurant where the waitress isn't uncomfortable, then I'm a beta. I'm an alpha. I want to go where they hate their lives. It's a very funny thing to die on.
Multiple Hooters waitresses like responded to it and be like, or former Hooters waitresses that look, it's the betas that are showing up to Hooters. Like, do you think that the customers of Hooters are uniformly respected by the women that work there?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Opening time. Ladies, pick up your panties. These guys are coming back in. It is It is such a wrong take and aggressively wrong. And to be tripling down on it makes me laugh so hard.
I just like that it just seems like that this is such a big focus of the rest of society is to stop everyone. No one's stopping you. No one's talking about it. Everyone's fine with you going to Hooters. No one's shaming you for it. It's just this strange voice in your head.
It's not cool. It's like, hey, you want to go to Hooters? I haven't been working out enough. I don't know if I'm going to fit in Hooters. And not since Jason Whitlock went on Tucker Carlson has someone so self-owned themselves in the media.
I do want to read one last tweet from him, or one last quote. He said, Hooters is a safe space where alpha males can bond together and be alphas without the socialist feminist beta left getting in the way. Put down the Fortnite controllers and go to Hooters with the boys. So now he meant it generational. See, he's going down to the next generation. Put down those Fortnite controllers. Be a real man.
It's a little weird.
Now my chair's squeaky.
Maybe Aaron just switched chairs with you weeks ago. We're going to dinner tonight with our boy Lloyd. I wish we had gone to Hooters. We could have.
We could. We also, now that I'm looking at the time, we've got a while before that dinner. Mm-hmm. We could maybe do pregame at Hooters, just me and you. We're alphas.
Fuck yeah.
And then we meet up with Lloyd like...
Yeah.
He might be the beta.
We sit down at dinner, like, what are you having? Oh, we ate wings and beer. Wish you could have come.
All right. Our next story is from Arkansas. Filling a backpack with gasoline makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
At least until a cop tases you, because then you can be engulfed in a fireball.
I mean, this is the second time a guy's been engulfed in a fireball. One guy, like we talked about this weeks ago or months ago, put not lighter fluid, but like rubbing alcohol over himself, and then they tased him and he burst into flames. This guy, I just read the headline. I thought he had like a gas can in his backpack. He took a backpack, unzipped it, poured gasoline into it, zipped it back up, and put it on his back. So you carry around his gas with his hands free.
I mean, the gas would just leak out of the bag then if that was the case. No, it's...
Not if you're rocking a JanSport.
No, it's... I assume it's gas cans in his backpack. And the gas backpack... The gas backpack is clutch. You know, you never run out of gas. If gas prices suddenly increase, you're covered. You got your gas in the back.
And your hands are free because it's in your backpack.
Right. If you just
your
like...
Your gas pass backpack
is also cool if you ever just kind of want a little bit of smell of gas on your hands. I like that smell.
It is a good smell.
I think
smell.
It's manly. I sometimes pour a little gas just on my wrist and then show up to Hooters with my alpha buddies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's what we do.
Smell each other's fingers.
But then if you get tased... Then it's a backfire. That's so the risk.
What's
if you
he get why tased, did, why did he
then
get
you
tased?
Can become a human fireball.
Why did he get tased?
He was a motorcyclist, and he was driving around 100 miles an hour without a license plate. So you want to lie low if you've got the gas pass backpack.
Gas pass back pass?
If you've got that on your back, I would say lie low. You don't have the license plate, but he wasn't. He was going really fast, didn't have the license plate. The cop... pulled him over, at least tried to, and then the guy jumped off the motorcycle and ran with the backpack away from the cop. Total rookie mistake. At that point, get rid of the gas backpack and just run. You'll run faster. But he didn't. He was running with the backpack on. The cop eventually caught up to him, tased him, and he turned into a human fireball.
I would think it's like, you can keep my bike. I'm taking this gas with me. I would think you'd try to take the backpack off, throw it at the cop, so as he's tasing you, the backpack explodes, you get away. That would have been the smart move with the gas bass back.
That's how the music video about this story would end, or at least like the cartoon or the comic book. Like he would throw it, and it would just, that's the end.
What happened to the motorcycle guy?
He suffered injuries. He did not die. It was serious, but they immediately called and took him to the hospital. I'm not totally sure, but I just remember that he didn't die and he went to the hospital.
It could have been worse, though. He could have gotten a speeding ticket. You dumb fuck.
All
And now it's time for
ad copy.
ZipRecruiter.
Zip it up.
Are you hiring, Anthony?
Fuck you. Actually, I am. I'm looking for an assistant right now.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So any type of role that you're looking for. Maybe it's someone to wear many hats, which can be challenging, or maybe it's a simple position to fill, like an assistant. Although I would imagine your assistant would have a lot of different roles to fill. So it might be taking you forever to find a great fit.
We actually are using, it's going through my management. My management assistant is helping me find this and doing all the meeting people before I meet them. But they are using ZipRecruiter as one of the main tools.
Look at that. Whether you need to hire an assistant or a civil engineer in New York, or a pediatric nurse in Nebraska. That's one of the great things about ZipRecruiter. They can find you qualified candidates for any job wherever you live. You can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. You want to find people with the right experience. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what you're looking for.
I'm looking for someone to watch my dog while I'm gone and run little errands and, you know.
Okay.
They don't have to fix anything. They have to call some handyman.
But some experience doing that or some good references would certainly help. ZipRecruiter can help you there. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate on the first day. Try it for now for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Zip it up.
Athletic Greens is getting it done in my house every day.
I take it on the road. I take it on the road with me. Oh, yeah. I bring the packets, and I put the bottle up. Liz has been with me, so I got the two bottles. I got the little stack of travel things. And then as the weekend goes on, I see the pile getting lower. And I know I'm almost done with that weekend. But it's great. It's great for travel. I don't know. Are you supposed to use it all, like every single day? Because if you just use it on the road, if you're a guy who travels a lot, and you just bring it on the road because you don't the food is terrible a lot of the times. You wake up, you know you're getting nutritious Athletic Greens. And I say this every time. I love Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens loves us. My gut health has improved. You know you're not fat, but you got that little belly. Your stomach is just kind of sticking out there a little bit. Athletic Greens takes that down. It takes it down. You look better in t-shirts with Athletic Greens. And there's no law that says you can't drink 10.
Right. And I think the idea is drink it daily. But if you want to drink more, you could. It's like a daily habit.
First thing in the morning, I drink my Athletic Greens, go get some coffee, come back, drink more water, eat some breakfast. That's my jam.
Same. Me and Emeka at the house drinking every morning. It's time to reclaim your health. Arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. If they're not going to say it, I will. Cold and flu season, it's here. I got my flu shot this week. It's one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Take ownership over your health. Pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Finally, big day for ads. And I know everyone loves our ads. I know you love us reading the ads. You love us watching the ads. I know you love Black Buffalo. It's made.
Why is your voice getting sexier?
I don't know. I just felt like I'm seeing the end of the race and I'm starting to sprint. You know, I'm using the energy that I got left and Black Buffalo is getting their money's worth. If you're over 21 and you like to dip or chew tobacco, whether it's pouches or long cut, you have to try this tobacco alternative, Black Buffalo. It does not have the actual tobacco leaf or stem, but everything else that you love about dipping, pharmaceutical grade nicotine. It's made of edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, all sorts of different flavors. Like I said, long cut or pouches. I think it's small batch.
And this is the future. I wish this had been around when I was way too young to be dipping, and I was dipping because I'm sure your breath is better. I'm sure it's like less gross around the ladies.
They have mint.
Even though ladies can do it, they've always had mint. But having it like a non-tobacco is a huge step forward. And let's say you're used to dipping. You're playing video games. You like to dip. You're at work. You like to dip. It just puts you in the zone. But you're getting a little antsy because it's too much nicotine in your system. Take the nicotine-free one. Doing a nicotine-free, mix it up a little bit, and you're going to be living your best life. You're going to feel like Joe Rogan.
They do have those nicotine-free options. They're called Zero. Black Buffalo has been with us for a while. If you're still dipping tobacco or those white portion things and you're over 21, it's time to get with Black Buffalo. It's everything you love about dipping, just without the actual tobacco leaf or stem. Head to blackbuffalo.com. Use the promo code JRVP at checkout. 25% off your first order. That is the best offer you'll find. You have to use our code JRVP for 25% off your first order at blackbuffalo.com. One last time, that's promo code JRVP for 25% off your order.
Black Buffalo, your gums will thank you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
And that was...
ad copy.
Let's get back to headlines. We must have had a six ad episode.
I don't think so. I think we just set the record.
I think it's the best we've done. This is the most we've made on an episode. We deserve it. We deserve this.
Does every show talk about that? Like we are always talking about that. Like how well our ads are doing, how many ads we're doing.
That's what we do.
That's our thing.
I don't listen to any podcasts. I don't know. But I got to think we're refreshing.
Yeah.
If people don't do that. I think people also cut away. It's like they already do the ad and then you have to just listen to a commercial. We're organic.
I'm a big NBA podcast guy right now.
You
it's,
are?
It's just like a good, you know, you don't have to think too much. You're in the car. It's like a distraction. I don't want to listen to anything about the NFL because I know enough about that. Do enough about that.
I didn't know you were a big basketball
I'm a big
guy.
Celtics fan again.
We got to go back to a game.
The Celtics are coming next month, December.
But I don't want to take the kids because then it's going to be the same situation as last time where they're rooting for the Celtics, I'm rooting for the Lakers.
They, I don't believe, are allowed to go because they're going to Japan right after that and it feels like a little too much of a COVID risk. Okay. So I could maybe go without them.
Okay, we'll see.
Can make it happen. Walker, by the way, used our trip to Lakers-Celtics as one of the notable days in his life in a school project where they had to pick one event from every year that happened. And he said he went to the Lakers-Celtics on whatever day that was.
It was like right before the shutdown. It was one of the last like NBA games played.
February something, yeah, 2020. Yeah.
We did it.
Our next headline is long and winding. It'll be read in full. The actual headline as it was viewed in the Daily Mail. Quote, Spanish bishop, 52, who quit clergy to be with erotic fiction writing sexologist lover, 38, is being accused of being possessed as he finds new job exporting pig semen.
Now, we've talked about this story before. When this guy quit the clergy, I think originally, he met a woman who was a sexologist, which sounds like a pickup line. Like, what do you do? Oh, I'm a bartender. I'm a sexologist. It doesn't make sense. But she's also, she writes erotic fiction. Was there any devil worshiping involved in her deal before? Am I confusing the story?
There was. And now I'm realizing we've done this story before.
Yeah, but not with the pig semen, exporting pig semen.
Yeah, this is an
kicker.
Update to the story.
This is the update.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, hey, you know, things are, you know, things are being a little weird. Like you were a bishop, your whole life was religion. You were a bishop, you rose pretty high through the ranks. And then you met a woman, which you're not really supposed to do. Not only is she just a woman, but she's also a sexologist, erotic fiction writer. I think you need to turn your life around. And you're like, oh, I do? Well, I'm exporting pig semen. Where are you exporting it to? What place doesn't have pigs? You can whack off.
I'm glad you asked. Semen Cardona is a global company which makes and exports high-quality pig semen to more than 20 countries in Europe, America, Asia, and Africa. I thought this whole thing was like an Onion headline, and it kind of was like an Onion headline, mm-hmm. whereas you pretty much only needed to read the headline. It wasn't going to get any better than that. But I got to say, I went to semencardona.com, or at least their official website, and it is an official website with lots of information about the exporting of quality pig semen that they endeavor to do. Okay. And he works there.
Okay, role play. I am human resources at Semen Cordova. You are, it's Semen Cordova?
Cordona. Yeah, it's in Spain.
I'm HR, Semen Cordona. You are coming in for a job. All right, this is a job interview. Ready? So, Greg, what would you bring to the company if we do decide to hire you? Like, what would you do for us?
Well, I'm a hard worker. Mm-hmm. If I've got a weakness, I think it's almost working too hard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you would just get extra, you get extra semen out of it? You'd export more?
Whatever that you guys want me to do, I'm going to, you know, get it done. Whatever that is.
Tell me about your life. What separates you from the other candidates? Did you used to be a bishop?
I was a bishop.
Okay. And you're not anymore?
Not anymore.
Why did you leave the church?
Well, I had a girlfriend that they weren't too...
Yeah, are you allowed to have girlfriends?
Technically, no, and that's part of the reason why I left, but we loved each other. She's a great author. She might be looking for work, too.
What does she write?
Erotica.
Okay.
But that can be respectable. You remember Anais Nin? Like, she's great.
Mm-hmm. Of course we do. We're big fans here. Is she any kind of an ologist?
She's a sexologist, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're hired. What does he do for the... The company exports semen, exports pig semen. All different kinds of semen or just pig semen?
I think it's just pig semen.
They specialized in pig semen. And is he just like a worker? Is he a desk guy? Or is he like, is he putting his hands on pigs?
That was the question I think everyone had at the tip of their tongue. And one priest who is said to know Novell, that's his name. His last name is Xavier Novell is his full name. And he lives in Catalonia in Spain. A priest who said to know him told the media in this article, it's like the parable of the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke, the son who abandoned the father to lead a debaucherous life and ended up wishing to eat pig slop. But in this case, it's the beast and devil because he masturbates them.
I mean, the Bible really does have an answer for everything. That's why it's such a good book.
Wait, so the priest is saying he's masturbating the pig.
Someone's got to do it. May as well be a bishop.
Is that how that works? I thought they like, I don't know. Can't you get it out some other way? Why do they even need the pig semen?
What, are you going to talk him out of it? What do you think? You're going to play some Renner and they're just going to start coming everywhere? You got to get in the cups.
I just thought the pigs are more of like a visual, you know, they get like... eroticized visually. You just show him some nice pictures, some Porky Pig.
I mean that. was there a female
Miss,
Porky Pig?
Little Miss Piggy?
Piggy, yeah, Miss Piggy would be way better. I mean, I guess you know, different strokes, different folks. Do you think it's an up and down situation, or you think it's a prostate on the pigs? Aaron, what is it?
Wait, what does that mean?
Are you going up the butt to get the semen, or are you going from the front, Aaron?
I mean,
I'm gonna need a ruling on this.
I think you gotta go up the front.
You know what, Aaron? You're wrong. It's both. It's more efficient that way.
Simultaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that way it cuts the time. You know what I mean?
I really recommend, going to semencordona.com.
Get yourself a T-shirt.
The first three words that greet you there: security, confidence, commitment. 3 decades innovating in swine insemination of high genetic value.
When I think pig semen, I think confidence.
They don't have any pictures. I really wish they had pictures of
go to milk.com. I'm sure it's similar.
The dirty pig magazines. That priest really, really cracked
me up. He's a bishop.
Well, his friend
is he
priest.
Still with the girl?
I think they're doing well. Yeah. I mean, their love, their true love. And if you've noticed, it's affected some of her work. Some of the new erotica has got like a lot of pig stuff.
A lot of pig stuff. A lot of pigs and bishops. I like it. I like it. That's a nice diagonal move for the bishop. Aaron, did you get my bishop joke?
I got it now.
Sorry, I'm too busy looking at the Semen Cardona website.
Oh, sorry.
Looking for merch.
Hey, make it your homepage and get back on the stick.
I get it now.
Yeah.
That's my bad.
Going from being a bishop
I should have known, because I thought like, oh, Anthony usually, he would have had something a little, little zingier there at the end.
Yeah. It's a diagonal move.
Yeah.
What's your last, give me the last headline, Jinx.
I just did.
No, you didn't.
You heard it.
No,
the last headline jingle.
Last headline.
I just, I don't know. I wanted to see you pressing the buttons. For some reason, that's pressing the buttons and moving to the next thing. It's too much for me.
You got a hard job. Maybe you gotta get out of here. Go do some pig semen. Semen Cordona.
So Brazilian butt lifts have become popular. I know you're considering one, Anthony. But you should be aware that these procedures come with risk. A woman revealed last week that her friend, a close friend, had traveled to the Dominican Republic for a butt lift and liposuction procedure. But when she got back in the U.S., started having some serious health problems. And when she went to a doctor to see what was going on, she learned that one of her kidneys had been stolen.
I love it. I love it. Now, I just read the other day that Brazilian butt lift is...
Why do you love it?
Brazilian butt lift is the most dangerous plastic surgery you can get.
Yes.
Like, the fatality rate is much, much higher, like quadruple, I think, that of any other procedure. And especially when people combine them. Like, you combine a liposuction with a butt lift. It's like, that's when things really start to happen. And I love that whenever someone gets a Brazilian butt lift, they go to, like, the most third world fucking place they can. They go to the shack, like the hospital shack, and have them do it up, and then they're surprised when something bad happens. That I love that you would take, like, okay, you want to lose some weight? We'll help you lose some weight. You're coming back one kidney short. And how do you even tell people? Like, you would think you'd be too embarrassed to complain. You would just take your L in the kidney game and enjoy sitting down.
Well, what's her friend that kind of made it go viral? And so, yeah, she might be so ashamed she doesn't really want it out there. But yeah, I think if you're gonna get the riskiest plastic surgery procedure, don't skimp on it. If you can't afford a good Brazilian butt lift, if you have to leave the country to get it, I think you can get them in this country, right?
I have no idea.
I guess we don't know. But
I
seems
have
like
no idea.
Seems like you probably could. She said she paid $1,500 for it. That seems too low to me. If you're traveling to another country to get a $1,500 procedure, like, just assume that they're going to ask you to throw in a kidney, you know, for it.
And
how you get it, the coupon.
Do you call them to complain about the loss of a kidney?
Of course not.
Are you like, hey, I want some money back? Like, what do you say? You're not getting that kidney back. Do you even get to know your doctor's name? And how do you fly back from the Dominican Republic after a Brazilian butt lift? What do you stand the whole time? Do you lay down on your stomach? Like, I don't get how she must have stayed there for a long, long time before she realized her kidney was gone.
They are legal. I mean, they're not safe. Many plastic surgeons apparently don't do them because they think it's unsafe. But I don't know what the procedure is. I don't know if you're walking funny afterwards. It sounded like she traveled back immediately. So I think you're fine. I think you're fine to travel.
I don't think you can sit down though.
Why?
Because you just got all the stuff put in your butt. I don't know what they put in there, but it can't. They must be like either lie on your stomach or stand. If you're putting all your weight on your backside right after you get your backside stuffed full of whatever, it can't be good.
I'm just going to say I don't think you have a total grasp of the medical butt lift procedure, like what's really going into it. I don't either, but I wouldn't even try to guess what would be happening.
It's a slash and stuff.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It's a slash.
What about the lift?
Aaron, am I right?
You're pulling. It looks like it kind of has to be lipo at the same time because you're pulling fat from another area and injecting it into the fat linings of your butt.
Okay, so it's your fat. They're not just putting like silicone or something into your butt. It's like, yeah, your own fat. They're just redistributing weight. I would still think they would be like, don't sit down. Don't get on a plane right now and sit for however long it takes to get from the Dominican Republic. You know?
Too long.
Sit, like, lie on your stomach and read about David Ortiz, which I assume they do there all the time.
He's on the cover of all the airplane magazines. Ortiz Weekly.
Listen, I'm sure she looks great. Why don't people go to Brazil for this?
Mm.
Answer me that. I'll tell you what this woman is. Not the woman who sold out her friend for clout, but the woman who actually went and got the Brazilian butt lift. Okay? She's cool. I feel bad about the kidney. The doctor who performed this, JRVP Listener of the Week.
The doctor.
JRVP Listener of the Week. He got a kidney out of it. He's laughing all the way to the one bank in the Dominican Republic. And now it's time for...
Choo-choo!
Recommendation station, Greg.
I'm recommending a book. I loved this book. It's called A Beginner's Guide to Japan by Pico Ayer. I really don't like the title because it makes it sound like it's...
A travel guide
or a tourist book. And he is a travel writer sometimes, but it's more like a philosophy book, I would say. He's a British-born...
It's not a novel?
No, it's not a novel. So it is nonfiction. He's a British-born essayist, but he's lived in Japan for 30 years. And it's broken into different chapters, kind of talking about different elements of Japanese society. Obviously, you wouldn't, you know, read this unless you were interested in Japan in some way, in different topics, and then cut up into these little, really condensed, like paragraph length thoughts or comments on Japan. And it's so concise, but it's like so smart. It's the smartest thing I've ever read about Japan. Because, you know, I didn't have any interest in Japan before I married Emeka. And now it's a part of my life. And it's on some level like a confounding place. It's like a hard place to totally understand. And I think he did an amazing job from an outsider's perspective. He's not trying to claim he's like Japanese and has some special insight. But Emeka read it too and gave it her stamp of approval and thought it was really smart, and that like he noticed all these things that she wouldn't have even have thought about because it's so obvious. But
and like
it was
cultural
really,
things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like he says something about like when you move to Japan, like learning the language is one thing. That's like less important than like learning how to be silent there, which really spoke to me because so much there in communication is unsaid, is like nonverbal. Like a lot of about the, I think Japanese is nonverbal, and like that was just one little thing. But religion, everything kind of, it's hard to put into words, but it's really good. And if you're at all interested in Japan or ever want to go there, it's not a travel guide. It's nothing like that. It's more intelligent than that. But it's really good. And I will reread it, I know, in my life probably more than once.
Cool. Sounds great. I'm recommending a book as well. This book came to my attention, just won the Booker Prize a couple of weeks ago. It's called The Seven Moons of Mali Almeida. Almeida, by Sheen Karunatalika. I'm going to go with that. Great book, very funny. It's about war photographer, who gets murdered, and he has seven days. He's like in the afterlife, and he's dead in the beginning of the book, and he's figuring out the afterlife, and he's got seven moons to figure out who killed him and why. And like 400 pages, very funny, very interesting, kind of a quick read for 400 pages. Ooh. But I really enjoyed it. And these books where someone is dead and they have to kind of like become at peace with their soul before they can move on in the afterlife can be very fucking corny, obviously. And this book avoids that, which gives me my stamp of approval. Finished it last night. Great, great book. The Seven Moons of Mali Almeida. Check it out.
I will.
And that was
choo-choo.
Recommendation Station Walker. I give you the best day of your life. Get us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.